KQ 4AKEs and 2PKD.
AD, this is KQ 4AKE. Got you loud and clear.
So, hopefully Ron's switching over as well. We'll give it a shot. KQ 4AJV. This is N2PKD. How copy? Be quite over here yet. You heard anything back on the text?
AKE, negative, haven't heard anything back from him yet. Well, hang on a second, maybe he just replied. That said, he's listening on 146.610 and he is hearing nothing. Nothing at all.
Encouraging, because he should be well within the pattern. That's, do you recall what kind of handy talk he's using?
He's probably using a little Yaesu. I forget the designation of it, maybe VX something. He told me what it was. I actually downloaded the owner's manual, but I don't remember the designation of it. But it's a small Yaesu, I believe.
I'm curious, because usually Yaesus are pretty sensitive. I mean, better than a Baofeng. So, I don't know, maybe check antenna orientation or, yeah, that's really weird. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, so Ron said that he was listening last night to the Caesar's Head repeater and receiving it. I think they said it was a little staticky, but he's going to switch antennas and see if he can pick us up with a different antenna connected to his handheld.
And need to get him a J-Paul or something handy like that, because for this, I mean, it doesn't need to be directional. He should be close enough. It's in 2PKD.
I think he does have one of those copper pipe J-poles that we built. I don't know if he has it mounted anywhere or, you know, what the situation is with that. But let's see if he texts me back and says if he can hear us or not here. 4AKE, are there any other stations needing to use this repeater or waiting for us to get off the air here?
4AKE, this is KQ4AJB.
AJV, this is KQ4AKE. I can read you. It's understandable. It's a little bit scratchy, but I can definitely hear you.
It's pretty scratchy on this end, too. I'm using the shaded ground monopole that you built. The Yagi, the Paris Mountain, it was coming in just 5x5, but couldn't get out. And I'm thinking that maybe I did do a good job fixing that coax.
You understand. Yeah, I'm not sure, you know, what's going on with that. That Yagi, I think it used to work fairly good on this repeater, but I guess it's pointed in the correct direction also.
I don't know. I'm going to have to pull those sectionals out that you gave me to make sure. I know last week when I was pointing towards the Spartanburg Tower, I was being very careful with it. I do appreciate Michael jumping in and helping.
Michael, you copying all of this, I guess? See if you can talk to Ron and communicate back and forth that way. I imagine it'll work.
This is N2PKD. Yeah, I'm copying everything I was letting y'all do the back and forth, but yeah, definitely some white noise and scratchiness, but fully readable, and a little bit low in audio, probably because you're on a handy. Sometimes those don't, the audio doesn't come through strongly, but definitely readable. And as it regards the Yagi, especially if you're moving around or messing with it, sometimes those solder joints are a little tricky.
Thank you. I have a BNA, so I will pull that out and look and see, you know, what's really happening with it. But I appreciate all the good help and advice.
I was helping a friend of mine with one of his antennas. Well, actually, I built him a little J-pole. It was a dual band, 2 meters and 70 centimeters open stub J-pole, and we had to wrestle with it a bunch. And little things that you wouldn't expect seem to have a great impact, we'll just say that. So after we got it squared away, it was a great relief. So it's probably something little. I'd fine-tooth comb and do your best, it'll probably get it right.
I do have a J-pole, but I don't think this little handheld's got enough power to really make it sing. It doesn't really work any better than this shaded monopole that Wayne built.
If it'll make a quarter wave ground plane, or as you call it, shaded monopole, if you know, it should have enough to activate and be serviceable on that J-pole. Despite its larger dimension, the impedance match is usually good on that. So I wouldn't necessarily discount it. I'll hang around if you want to try it out.
J-pole here, I'd have to drive to go get that one, so no, but you know, I'm in the antenna's in the house, so it's not really a fair test, you know. I don't have a permanently mounted antenna.
And pretty well for that score. Yeah, a little bit of elevation, I mean, even like 10 feet, well, you will notice the difference. And then the other is being inside. There are some antennas where that doesn't matter as much, but that one is sensitive to being inside. But you're doing well for that. I'm impressed.
For the words of encouragement. Plus, I'm not sure I'm on the right side of the house either for the tower. I know for Caesar's Head, I'm on the wrong side.
Yeah, the antenna's indoors. I mean, mine's in the attic, so I have to be mindful of that as well. But there's not a lot of roofing nails. I mean, there's a standard amount, but otherwise it's a standard shingle roof, so I don't usually have that trouble. But being inside with all those wires and metal stuff, not to mention just, you know, the usual construction of a house is going to diminish your signal a little bit. So, yeah, when you finally get it, situated outdoors where you want, I think you'll notice a big improvement.
I can go out in the backyard and pick up, 100% better.
By way of reference, and I'm in pretty good area to talk on the Spartanburg repeater, but even being so close, if I'm indoors, especially with a handy talkie, there's a noticeable difference. I sometimes have a hard time with our 2 meter repeater, even though I'm so close.
I'm a real believer of directional antennas. Seems to really make a big difference. Kind of know where all the different repeaters are and keep working it, but it's worth it as far as just, gain.
Yes, sir. And, if you're doing a directional like Yagi or whatever, polarization is a factor, so make sure you're vertically polarized there. And, it's funny, you remember all those old TV antennas were horizontally, the ones you used to see on the tops of houses, they were all horizontally oriented. And I figured out why that was because back when people were doing standard broadcast television, the signals were actually horizontally polarized as well, so it made sense that they lined them up. But Yagi's, any kind of directional antenna is going to be better if you know where you're shooting. It's going to be better than an omnidirectional. But seeing as I'm lazy and I don't have any means by which I could rotate one at this location, I'm just holding what I got.
Mention that after I sent that email, I did look and it said in the U.S. that television, analog TV, was horizontally polarized by law. So kind of answered that question. This is KQ4AJB.
Yeah, of course, after I read the articles on horizontally polarized television signals, then I got drawn down the rabbit hole on slot antennas that were developed for that purpose as well. So that was a fairly interesting number of things to read on. I might end up trying to make a slot antenna for 2 meters just to see what happens.
I'm a fan of slotted antennas, too. I mean, the first time I ever saw one was for Wi-Fi, but 2 meters, that's going to be a big slot. But it's kind of funny because I gave Victoria some 8x8 inch hog wire for her garden. And Wayne said, well, what frequency is that antenna? And I said, I'll have to calculate it, but I guarantee you it's good for some frequency.
I've been looking into, you know, sort of designs that hams have tried for slot antennas, and one old boy took one of these dishes, like a DirecTV dish, and cut a slot in there, and total length of the slit was, I think, 39 inches or thereabouts, and so he could beat the HOA. So his the slot was horizontally oriented. That meant that the signal was vertically oriented or polarized, and he was taking photos and bragging about how his HOA wasn't any the wiser. I thought that was really interesting. What? I missed that last bit.
Lock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, HOAs, they're awesome. We love them for all the good things. But yeah, I just thought it was pretty slick, because unless you're up close looking at the thing, like if you're just driving by, you wouldn't notice the slot cut in the thing, and I thought it was pretty slick, pretty inventive for, you know, scrounging parts and such. Of course, having read this article, I realized that I had four perfectly good dish antennas that I have since recycled several months ago, and I'm kicking myself because the archive contains no dishes anymore, and so now I got to scrounge a little bit.
I assume the antenna you're talking about, dish antenna, is one of those big old-fashioned dish antennas that are like 6 or 8 feet across. Are the later model antennas? I've got actually got a dish antenna up on the corner of my house that I've been looking at, and it's like maybe 2 feet across, gray, not really a perfect dish shape. It's kind of, I think it's dish on, and the top edge is like flat or something. Are those antennas any good for ham radio?
Something like that. That was the size he was using for his. Not one of those big 6 foot diameter monstrosities. Although you can use those for some things too. But the one you've got, we could probably figure out how to get that done. I wouldn't mind messing around with one of those too.
If you want, if we got time tomorrow, we can go up there. It's right on the edge of the roof. It's not up high. Can reach it with a ladder, and we can take it down, and you can have it. How about that deal?
If you leave the mountain bracket up, I'll make you a nice little 2 meter antenna, and then we'll put it back up and pretend it was there all along. What do you think?
Off my roof. Now you want to put it back on there? And we'll talk about it. Whatever. I mean, it's been there for years, and I've been looking at it, thinking I ought to take that thing down before it falls down. But yeah, we'll talk about it in the morning.
Step one is to test my fabrication skills and see if I can get that working and tuned correctly. And then then we'll figure out what to do with it. And you might need a mobile dish on your four-wheel drive. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think once we get it working, we're going to want to put it up somewhere.
That antenna on top of my wife's Subaru, right in the middle of the hood.
Got magnets. We'll make that happen.
To take the incoming fire from that one, because I'm not going to. Anyhow, hey Ron, I don't think I told you, but Michael's going to come over tomorrow, and he's got a modification for my NVIS antenna to try to get it to tune on both 40 meters and in the lower part of the 80 meter band. So we're going to be working on that tomorrow and see if we get that, you know, set up and working.
Good. I guess you can test it, because if it bounces up and bounces down, you'll be able to tell on the spot if it's doing its thing or not.
Looking forward to it. It's going to do a call on both 40 meters and 80 meters, so that'll be kind of neat.
About the dish antenna, I have plans for making a Wi-Fi antenna on it so you can point it over at Steve's house and y'all can share Wi-Fi across the runway.
I'm just thinking about hooking that up as a ham radio antenna, and it's kind of pointed at Steve's house. I wonder what that's going to do to his great big huge big screen TV that he has covering one wall. he'll probably be gunning for me.
Nothing at you now. I think you'll be all right because, you know, it's vertically polarized and omnidirectional when it's in completed form. So the dish has no, it doesn't change the pattern, you know, appreciably. So it's pretty much omnidirectional. So if he's not fussing at you now with your omnidirectional antenna, he probably won't notice a difference. We'll put it right back up.
Well, sounds good. Sounds good.
The dish acts as an antenna and is omnidirectional?
Yeah, because so the normally with a dish you've got the we'll call it the radiator, and then the dish reflects it and focuses the pattern, right? Well, this, you don't need the little radiator. That's not related at all. It's all about the slot that gets cut in that dish. And so the dish, you know, if you look to the shape of that dish, it could be a little curved or flat, whatever, almost doesn't matter. The resulting slot is the actual antenna. And it's pretty much omnidirectional because as long as the slot is nearly planar, your pattern is if it were purely planar, it would be omnidirectional without imperfection. If that makes sense.
Point the dish straight up.
Make it put it in its normal orientation. So if your dish is roughly assuming you were pointing it using it as a dish, if that's pointing directly at the horizon, right, so that your dish is basically up and down, like normal, right, just the normal orientation, that slot is horizontally cut, and then the way his design works, the tips are bent down to get the full length that you need, and it's actually the metal around the gaps, right, the metal around the slot that is doing the radiating as the antenna, if that makes sense.
That's very clever, isn't it? Do you have an article on that?
Let me get back out. I think the most convincing or compelling thing I saw, a fellow had given an informational brief to a radio club and had it as a YouTube. I could probably dig that out a little bit more easily.
You might be interested in. It's really old. It's from the 90s. But down in Australia, they were building Wi-Fi networks across communities, and they were building slotted antennas out of, like, 2-inch square tubing that they would put vertically in the air.
They were cutting the slots vertically, so it was horizontally polarized signal, or what?
To the archives and see if I can find that article, and I'll send it to you. It's a pretty good one.
We'll give it a look. Yeah, I've never made one of these before, but I've been itching to try one because it seems like magic, right? I mean, it's not, but it seems like magic. And the only thing I'm afraid of is cutting the slot too big to start, you know? So if it's too big, it'll be too low, and that's really hard to fix, whereas you can always make the hole bigger.
That'd be interesting to see how that works. The VNA will let you know how well you did. This is KQ4AJB.
Functionally, it's basically basically a one wavelength loop. And so I'm curious about resonance patterns as well, like to see if it'll work on up into 440. My gut check says that it might, but obviously at a different purely resistive impedance, but I'm curious to see what we can discover.
You might want to Google search metamaterials, M-E-T-A, materials. It's all relevant along this whole conversation. I think you'd find it interesting.
A little bit of a search. I may have read something on that, I don't know, a year or two ago. Fellow's using, I think he was using some metamaterial for, he was doing lensing for microwave frequency radio, and basically making these, for lack of a better term, a lens to focus the RF something out of an alien movie. It was really quite fascinating and different. But I might be messing that up in my head. It's been, like, say, probably a couple years since I read that thing.
Possible. What got me is they were talking about an invisibility cloak, but it was invisibly cloaking microwaves. And they showed pictures of the metamaterial, which was like printed circuit boards. It was pretty fascinating.
You'd see how that would be interesting. And then, of course, now a lot of the cool stuff when you talk about cloaking is down in the infrared range. Or, excuse me, up in the infrared range from RF. But, yeah, I'll have to dig that out and see what I can learn.
Archives and see if I can find. Usually when I'll find articles, I'll squirrel them away somewhere. And sometimes I can find them again.
Yeah, a lot of times, well, I don't know if this happens to you, but I'll save things, you know, like bookmarks or whatever, and when I'm done, like every year or so, I'm looking back at all the bookmarks, and I don't even know how they all got there. I mean, hundreds. Not in any particular order, except maybe chronologically. And I'm not sure if it's useful, but I do it anyway.
I think, or I'll download an article, it's like, man, I'm going to have to read this, and then I'll forget about it. And then a couple of years later, it's all brand new.
I'm guilty of that as well. I was doing some sorting and organizing in computer files, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, and I was amazed at all the stuff I'd squirreled away. I mean, some of it was actually useful. A lot of it may have been useful at the time, but not so much now.
Anyway, I'll dig through my archives. I'll look up, send you a couple articles, and maybe we can share those.
So, yeah, like I say, anything like that, feel free, send it. I'll read it. I'll probably have some dumb questions, but that's about normal.
Slotted antennas. The guy that wrote the article, he was writing for Byte Magazine, but he had his doctorates in, like, electromagnetics, and he worked for a university. He had some really cool simulation models, and so he was designing all these antennas and showing the patterns, but a lot of the things he was doing was just fantastic.
Yeah, well, especially if he was the guy designing antennas for that, what amounts to a rural connection effort for internet. But, and also, anytime you say PhD in electromagnetics, yeah, that's going to be a guy I'm going to have to study up so I'm smart enough to learn something from.
Like that guy, you know, Wayne's got that long antenna, and I think he talked to him. Well, that's kind of what he is, too, a doctorate, playing with this stuff in university. But this other guy, I'm going to send you, I mean, he's doing medical stuff. I mean, the guy had to be a super genius, because, I mean, his breadth of scope was awesome.
Look at, I don't know if you ever looked at how an MRI machine works, for example, but I started looking at an engineering diagram of one, and I was like, man, that looks familiar. That looks kind of like a radio in a way. And, yeah, but those guys, especially the guys with special knowledge and a career in it, pretty amazing stuff they're working on.
For computer models, those guys were called spooks.
Well, if you've ever seen a fellow with a slide rule holder on his belt, he might have been one of those guys back in the day. But, yeah, the thing is, the ability to visualize what's going on has been helped with computers. And back in the day, before that, yeah, I could see where people thought they were a little bit spooky because they could see it and no one else could.
At the college, there was an antenna design course. I never did take it, but I probably should have in retrospect.
Well, that's natural enough. I've looked back at my course of study and realized that if I had changed gears differently, that I might have had some more useful stuff, at least for my hobbies, if not in any practical sense. That's N2PKD.
Or AJB. Hey, Wayne, Miss Carolyn said she gave up. She wanted to get on the radio and say hello, but she's gone now.
For AKE. Yeah, she texted me and told me that
she gave up because you guys are having so much fun talking about antennas. She didn't want to interrupt the conversation, so I told her we'll catch up next time. And actually, I was going to say, I'm going to jump off of here and call it a night. I got to recover from working on that grout all day today, so I'm going to say good night and enjoy chatting with you guys. Glad we were able to establish contact there, Ron, and I think when you get an antenna actually out of the house and up in the air, that'll go a lot easier, so hopefully get that done sometime soon. But so this is KQ4AKE, and I'll be clear after your final.
I got it.
Good day, too. More school days. Anyway, it was great talking to you guys, and I appreciate your patience with me this evening. Dimes, I appreciate hanging out with you guys on the radio. And don't worry, Ron, we'll get you squared away. A little bit of practical application, all that theoretical stuff. We'll get you right. And that way we can talk whenever we want and even let the ladies in, too. KQ4AKE. KQ4HAV, this is N2PKD 73, y'all. Good night.
KQ4HAV, thank you guys. Good night.